I'm Denise.
She's a non-fiction editor. And I'm Louise.
She's a fiction editor. And together,
we're the Editing Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Editing Podcast. This week, we're going to run through a selection of the different types of materials you might consider working on if you're an academic editor.
Yeah, and the reason we chose to talk about this is because some of you might not have considered some of these and might therefore not be actively promoting the fact that you are prepared to edit this kind of stuff, or you might not have even thought about editing this kind of stuff.
Yeah, and by actively promoting, we mean spelling it out on your websites and directory entries.
Yeah, and that's key, because it might well be that a really great client doesn't search using just the keywords politics editor or humanities copy editor. They might search for PowerPoint proofreading or conference poster editing.
Yeah, yeah. And if you have those niche keywords and phrases in your online promotional copy, especially headings, you're much more likely to get found. Yeah. The other thing is that some editors really enjoy working on a wider range of formats because, well, variety is the spice of life, so they say.
It is indeed. So we're going to look at 15 options in this episode. And if you're one of our Patreon supporters, you'll get an extra 5 on top of that. So keep an eye out in your inbox for information about how to access that bonus episode.
So first up is something that will be obvious to most academics, but we can't not mention it, can we? And that's books, especially monographs.
Yeah, so here we're talking about scholarly books, often published by academic presses. A monograph is a detailed written study of a single subject, often by a single author.
Yeah, and monographs are commonly how academics contribute original research or specialised knowledge. And it's the narrowness of their subject matter that makes them so valuable.
And they can be published as standalones, or they could be part of an academic publisher series.
Yeah. The second thing to think about is conference materials. So here we're talking about things like slide decks, papers and posters that academics are presenting at conventions.
So just in case there are people listening who are still learning about academia, a poster is a visual representation, a visual presentation even, of an academic's research, and it often combines various elements like text, images and graphs to summarise findings concisely.
Yeah, and they're often used at conferences to communicate research in smaller, more intimate groups that allow for more informal and engaging discussion.
Yeah, good for often preferred by people who are sort of new to presenting as well.
Yeah.
Because they're a bit more intimate.
Mm.
So our third idea is grant proposals. So these are applications for research funding, and lots of academics really appreciate having these edited, given how critical it is to ensure that the body that they're asking money from isn't distracted by non-standard spelling and grammar.
Yeah, and if you work on these, expect to see an outline of a project's objectives, its significance, its methods, and information about the financial support required.
Yeah. Idea number 4 is something else that probably will seem to some listeners as quite an obvious one, but we have to mention it: journal articles. So these are manuscripts submitted to academic journals for peer review and publication.
And it might be original research, reviews, or theoretical discussions about an academic topic. And it'll include references and require using the journal's particular style guidelines. Style guidelines often are things that academics are very worried about. And I think as editors, we're much more comfortable with dealing with that sort of thing. So I quite often have an academic just saying to me, oh, just you take it and make sure it all adheres to it, because that's not their area of interest, you know.
Yeah, yeah,
their focus is on the research. They just want to make sure that they're not going to be tripped up by not adhering to a journal style guidelines. And for many of us editors, that's just bread and butter stuff we live and breathe.
And that's the case for all academic work in the main. So, you know, not just one particular, you know, few subject areas. It crosses the board, doesn't it?
Absolutely, yeah.
So idea number 5 that you might say, explicitly say that you edit, is peer review reports. So these are what's presented after a group of experts have assessed a piece of academic work.
They basically evaluate the quality, validity and significance of a piece of written research. And they're common with journal articles and grant proposals.
Yeah, and you'll sometimes see things in them, or often things like feedback, and the reports will suggest revisions. Those help the publisher or journal editor decide whether to accept, revise, or reject a submission.
Yeah, and so if the author's asked to revise, that's where you might come in, because they might need support with editing in response to the reviewer's comments or the rebuttals that your client's prepared.
Yeah, exactly. So number six is reference lists. These come at the end of an academic work or sometimes at the end of each chapter, and they provide full details of all the sources cited in the text, and so that readers can locate and verify the original sources. Now then, Cal, you love editing reference lists. We've mentioned this before, but you do, don't you?
I do, I really do. I find it incredibly satisfying, and I'm sure everyone's bored with me banging on about it. But you can get into a sort of zone with it, especially because, you know, as long as you're familiar with whatever the expectations are for the style guide you're using, it's a very organised and tidy way of working. Very clean.
And really important too.
Yeah, absolutely. Because a sloppy reference list can lead to accusations of academic misconduct, and an editor can help the author to avoid that.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. So our seventh option is research reports. So a research report is a structured document that summarises the objectives, methodology, findings and conclusions of a study.
And the reason why an academic editor could be so valuable is because they're not always just about advancing knowledge. They're also sometimes presented to funding bodies when academics are trying to get funding.
Yeah. So there's cold, hard cash at stake.
Oh, absolutely. Cold, hard cash in academia. Very important.
Yeah.
Our eighth type of academic material is scholarly papers. So these critically summarise, analyse and synthesise, ooh, lots of eyes, existing research on a specific topic.
And the critical thing is probably the key thing here. So the author will be looking at current knowledge, identifying trends and gaps, examining what debates are taking place, and might even suggest future research directions.
Yeah, and unlike original research articles, they don't present new stuff. It's all about what's currently out there. Mm. And so like any other type of written text, they benefit from having a professional editor's eye.
Yes, definitely.
Indeed.
So number nine, this is textbooks and handbooks. So we separated these from books and monographs because they are different. Handbooks are often chunky beasts and used in academia to support quick decision making or problem solving, but they're often core student tools too. Textbooks, on the other hand, are always for students, which means they're structured as teaching tools and often include explanations, examples and exercises.
Yeah, and they might be aimed at different levels, which means the editor could be tasked with checking that the material is presented appropriately. I work in a lot of educational materials, and it's common for there to be lots of elements, like you said, Louise, and that makes them really interesting. But as an editor, you do need to be very organised.
Yeah, I recall conversations we've had about this before, and I sort of balked at the various things that you're juggling on your screens when you're editing that kind of work.
Yeah.
But it's not just about linear checks for spelling, grammar and punctuation issues.
Oh, exactly. You might be bouncing back and forth between questions and answer keys and other types of supporting materials. I do love it though.
It does sound really interesting.
Yeah.
It really does. Mm. But I'm not going to do it.
Thank you.
So our 10th type of material is theses and dissertations. These are research projects that students complete, perhaps as part of their undergraduate study or for a master's or doctoral degree.
And the important thing here is for the editor to make sure that they understand exactly what level of intervention is permitted by the institution that the student is working for, because you have to ensure that it's all ethical and there can be no accusations of collusion, which is a serious problem.
That really is. That's such an important thing. Mm. So now for number 11, and this one's white papers. These are authoritative, in-depth reports or guides that address a specific issue, present research findings, and offer solutions or recommendations.
And these are commonly used in business, government, technical, and academic fields, particularly when the author wants not just to inform, but also persuade a particular audience but a course of action to be taken on an academic or policy issue.
Yeah, they can be quite political. Mm. And again, they need to be top-notch so that the reader's attention is focused on the argument, not on rogue apostrophes or an illogical structure. So, you know, an editor can be an absolute boon here.
Definitely, yeah. So we're cracking through these. We're at number 12 now. Number 12. So this option is editorials and opinion pieces. These are articles that express an author's views on a particular issue, typically related to academic, scientific or societal topics, and they're often published in academic journals or media outlets.
Yeah, and editorials are often written by a publication's editorial board, hence the name, while opinion pieces might be written by other experts or contributors. Regardless of who's doing the work, the aim is to provoke thought and spark discussion.
Uh-huh. Thought leadership, that sort of thing. Yeah. So here we are at number 13, and we're talking here about individual book chapters. So individual chapters in edited academic volumes rather than single author books.
And you might be tasked with editing prior to submission, which means you're not seeing the rest of the book's content. And so if you do edit this type of stuff, it's really worth asking the author or your project manager if there's a particular style guide you should be working to.
Oh, yes, that's so important. And perhaps to know whether it's that style has been implemented across all the chapters or whether they're happy to have different style per chapter, as long as it's consistent.
Yeah.
And that's the key thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, so number 14, we're nearly there. Mm-hmm. You might also promote the fact that you edit meta-analyses in plain language.
Please.
These are where an author has combined the results of many different studies on the same topic to get a clearer, more reliable answer.
And by looking at data from multiple studies in one space, it helps researchers spot patterns or trends that might not be obvious in a single study. It's like adding pieces to a puzzle to see the full picture. Honestly, not my wheelhouse.
I don't think I've edited many of them. I think I have done some. Yeah. Mm. So the last one, number 15, here we are, case studies. So here you'll be editing examinations of specific events, individuals or phenomena in various academic disciplines.
Oh, back in my social science days, I used to really find these interesting. And it's because it's real.
Yeah, absolutely. I come across these quite often when I'm editing ELT materials where you might get real life examples of teaching methods or classroom management or language acquisition. And they're really fascinating.
Yeah, I did some that were related to social work and the caring profession. Really good. Oh, but also one that I remember talking to you about, actually. It was on sort of teaching styles or methods of teaching in schools where they were language arts were taught within subject areas rather than as, going into my French lesson now or I'm going to my Spanish lesson or whatever.
Do you remember what the acronym for that was?
No. What is it?
It's CLIL.
That's right.
I can't remember what it stands for. Learning in language, something like acquisition, something like that.
Yeah.
People talk about CLIL, but don't ask them what it stands for.
Those case studies from that were amazing.
It's so effective. That's nice.
Yeah.
So interesting.
So that's it from us. 15 types of materials that academic editors can work on, could work on. We really hope you enjoyed this episode and that you've got some ideas that of things that you might use to sort of expand the way you promote your business.
Yeah, and don't forget, we're giving our Patreon supporters exclusive access to an extra 5 types of materials that you might consider if you edit in this area. So if you'd like to join our Patreon community, you'll also get access to that and a huge bunch of transcripts and any bonus content for selected episodes.
And you can also support us if you fancy it with a one-off donation of your choosing. Both the links are in the show notes. In the meantime, she's been Denise.
And she's been Louise. Join us again soon.
Bye-bye.